On Thursday, the 24th of April, 1975, death came during office hours, and oddly enough, in both female and male form, which is not to say the men weren't still in the majority. Death was attractively and neatly dressed, and to start with, behaved both courteously and urbanely. Nor was it by chance that the ambassador was at his place of employment, which was otherwise far from always the case. On the contrary, this was the result of careful planning, and key to the whole affair. The embassy of the Federal Republic of Germany in Sweden is located on Djurgården in central Stockholm, and has been since the early 1960s. In the northeast corner of the area that goes by the name Diplomat City, with the Swedish radio and TV building and the Norwegian embassy as its closest neighbors, it hardly gets finer than that as Stockholm addresses go. There is nothing remarkable, however, about the embassy building itself. An ordinary, dreary concrete box in the 60s functional style, 3 stories and just over 20,000 square feet of office space, with entry on the ground floor at the north end, it is far from the most prestigious foreign posting in the German Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The weather was nothing to write home about that day when death came to call. It was a typical Swedish spring with biting winds, restless clouds under a pewter-colored sky, and only a vague promise of better, warmer times. For death, these were ideal conditions. Best of all, security at the embassy was almost non-existent. It was a building that was easy to occupy and defend, but difficult to storm. Best of all, a solitary, rather worn-out attendant manned the reception area where, if worse came to worst, the glass doors of the security passage could be forced manually. Granted, the weather conditions would not help the perpetrators when it was time to leave. At some point between 11:15 and 11:30 in the morning, things started to happen, and the fact that a more precise point in time could not be established was also owing to the poor security. Whatever. Within the course of a few minutes, 6 visitors arrived in 3 groups of 2 people each, young people between 20 and 30, all German citizens, of course, and they all wanted help with various matters. In their homeland, they were notorious. Their likenesses and descriptions were on thousands of wanted posters all across West Germany. Their faces were also to be found in airports, train and bus stations, banks, post offices, and basically any public area where there was vacant wall space available. Their images were even on file at the embassy in Stockholm, in a folder in a desk drawer in the reception area, however useful that might be. But when they actually showed up, no one recognized them, and the names by which a few of them introduced themselves were different from their own. First, 2 young men arrived who wanted advice on an inheritance issue that concerned both Swedish and German jurisdictions, and it was clear, if for no other reason than the bulging briefcase one of them was lugging, that this was no simple matter. The guard in the reception area told the 2 men where they could find the official they needed and let them into the embassy. Immediately after this came a young couple who wanted to renew their passports, a routine errand, one of the most common at the embassy. The young woman gave a friendly smile to the guard as he opened the door for her and her companion. But then things became more complicated. 2 young men showed up looking to acquire work permits. The guard explained that this was not an embassy matter, but rather a question for the Swedish authorities. Instead of listening to him, the 2 persisted. One of them even got a bit stubborn when the guard didn't want to let them in. While they stood there arguing, one of the embassy employees who was going out for lunch appeared. As he exited, they both took the opportunity to slip in and immediately disappeared up the stairway to the upper floors without taking any notice of the guard shouting at them to come back.